Citizens of Edcott, unite. There are zombies in the parks. We need a plan. We have to react. Join in. Let's do something about this madness. Let's review what we know. 1. Zombies hate fire. 2. Alcohol cloaks humans from zombies. And 3. Human sweat attracts zombies. So we need a chill place to react. We need plenty of alcohol and plenty of fireworks to protect ourselves. Let's look at the options. Obviously, Magic Kingdom has the best fireworks and the most. However, look at the amount of characters that are in that land. The next thing we look at is, where is the most alcohol? I tell you, look no farther than World Showcase. Illuminations will have plenty of fireworks for us to use to defend ourselves. And 3, the characters. Joy and Sadness? Big Hero 6? The Fab Four? Remy? Figment? That's it? That's all we have to do with. This is the plan, Edcott. We hold down Epcot first. Gather our strength, gather our resources. We defend that park first. Heaven help the person who goes to challenge Darth Zombie.
No! 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 Hello, welcome to the Halloween special of the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by Stacey Nyman. Stacey, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Chris.
Oh, see, yes, we brought our A game, our A Halloween game.
These are some good sound effects we have going on here.
What'd you think of that opening music?
It was pretty strange, but now that I know it's the Halloween episode, it makes a lot more sense.
Makes sense, right? Okay. Hey, Stacey, tell me something spooky that happened in your life. Let's get us in the mood here for a Halloween special. You got something spooky you want to talk about?
Yes. So this is going way back. So not so way back, I guess. I think it was like 2009 or so. There's a little community in Illinois called Bishop Hill. Have you ever heard of Bishop Hill?
I'm still stuck on the 2009.
I know.
You mean 2009?
Yeah, and actually that's a total lie because this was when I was working when I'm working at the museum, and I started there in 2013. So it was probably 2014. I've already ruined the story. Anyways, there's a really okay. really cool community in Illinois called Bishop Hill. It's a really tiny town, and it was started by a bunch of Swedes who came over from Sweden and wanted to start their new like little colony a long, long, long time ago. So we as a staff went to Bishop Hill to kind of to check the place out. We have a good relationship with them through the museum. In case anybody doesn't know, I work at the Swedish American Museum in Chicago. But the town is obviously, like I said, really, really old. And one, we got some behind the scenes tours of one of the houses that houses, I believe, one of the museums that they have on property. And we got to go up to this old bell tower all the way at the top. People aren't allowed up there, but we got the tour. As we were going through this tour, there's the tour guy was telling us all these ghost sightings that are seen around this building and how, you know, different employees have seen ghosts throughout the place. And I'm a huge scaredy cat, like really, really bad. So we're going up to this bell tower and I'm the last person in the line. And already I'm freaking out because I'm the last person in the line. But not only that, but I have a fear of climbing. So I'm going up these rickety stairs that people don't usually use to go up to the bell tower. And I feel something tap me on my back.
No way.
And I turn as I'm walking up the stairs and there's absolutely nobody there. And I must have, I don't even remember getting from the bottom step up to the top step, but I must have just flown up those stairs, and I was just like, my heart was pounding so fast. And I was the new employee at the museum at the time and still kind of earning my place there. And I didn't want to seem like I was completely crazy or like being dramatic or whatever.
They know
so
now.
I didn't even tell anybody. I was just like, I'm not going to say anything. But I was almost sobbing when I went up there. I kind of had to step away, breathe in the fresh air and just deal with it. But probably the most scared I've ever been Spooky. In my entire life. Yes.
They definitely know you're crazy now. So you don't gotta
exactly.
hide that anymore.
I know.
So
I wanted, like, part of me really wants to go back to Bishop Hill because it was a really, really interesting and cool place because I'm a history geek. But the other half of me is like, I will never ever go up by that bell tower again. That is for sure. But I'm like, oh, it just like, it has like a weird pull for me now.
Wild. Cool.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I am not a scaredy cat. I love all things spooky. So here's two things for you. The first is a little bit about me. Do you have deja vu, Stacey?
All the time.
Okay, then I'm not original because I have it all the time. Legitimately, I have it all the time.
Yes.
I see uh-huh. these scenarios play out in my mind. So that's not spooky.
Yes, me too. Uh-huh.
So I think I've had this conversation before in my mind. But anyways, here's something spooky that I work at a golf course, and my golf course was actually owned by the Cerrone family. And if you're not from Chicagoland, the Cerrone family was part of the mob and was part of the boys and was owned by them. So, you know, we joke about, you know, some of the berms at our place that if you dug down, you wouldn't dig too far until you find a person, you know, stuck there. So a funny thing was our clubhouse is new as of 1998. And when we're there, part of our responsibilities in the wintertime and the summertime is to close the building. And the summer can be as late as 10:30. And the winter can be like 5 o'clock because no one's golfing, obviously. And frequently, we'll hear pianos playing in our building.
Hmm.
We don't have a piano. And frequently, we'll hear voices in the basement of our building. When I'm the only person working in the wintertime.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and it's my job to lock up. And it happens all the time. There'll be lights left on that I know I turned off because I'm super diligent on turning things off. And it's all the time that happens in our building. So we were actually written up in a golf magazine, and the guy came and interviewed me and said, tell me something interesting about your golf course. And of everything that we could talk about, you know, I go right to the ghosts, you know.
Uh-huh,
so
exactly.
So, but no, it's legitimate that we oftentimes in my clubhouse, which is new, but perhaps just laid in a spot where, I don't know. But
right.
Yeah, we hear
was there before. Uh-huh.
We hear pianos playing all the time with no piano in the building.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. So now that we got you with our factual chills, how about we talk about some fun today? You ready to do this crazy show with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so here's the history of this show. So I'm a big fan of the Resort Loop podcast, and actually I owe Resort Loop Tim and Resort Loop Bob a debt of gratitude because as a super listener for many years and still today, and as a good friend of theirs, they kind of inspired me and Pete and Laura back in the day to like start our own show. And it'd be arguable that we've gotten any better in 150 some episodes, but I love those guys. And about 4 years ago, they had a show that absolutely like captured me because I'm a huge like Halloween dude and I love zombie movies, and even before The Walking Dead hit the air, I loved zombie movies, and Night of the Living Dead is one of my favorites, and that's like the original. But I also like vampires and werewolves and anything spooky and dramatic, and even if it's like quick, like screams where like a person would jump out, like I'm all over that.
Uh-huh.
So we participated in a show, and it was essentially, the idea was, zombies have invaded Walt Disney World. And how are you going to survive? Where are you going to go? How are you going to hold up until the zombie apocalypse has passed? Because this is all over. Like, it's mainstream now. It's like The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. And my voice is getting deeper here. You see?
It is.
See? Maybe this is the beginning of a turn, like a zombie turn.
Yeah.
Or is my Barry White voice coming back? I don't know. Whatever. So that was a great show. So I contacted Resort Loop Bob, and I asked him if we could resurrect... You get it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You get it? You get that way?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're there? All right, good. If we could resurrect that idea of doing this, on, you know, essentially in the Edcot group, because I know the people in Edcot, and you're all listening right now, we're all the big crazy family. So I knew we'd have fun with this one. So here's the show, okay? That the strange fog last night at Walt Disney World had a terrifying effect on the characters, and the characters have become zombies, okay? But you're staying at a Walt Disney World resort, and you're not about to become zombie food. So here's my question. How are you going to survive? So the challenge was to tell us what is the best location to survive the zombie apocalypse at Walt Disney World. But be specific. This could be an attraction, a resort, or anything you can think of. But they got to tell us why. So we found out. We got some big zombie fans. And we've got some fodder, which means essentially they're going to be first to go.
Yeah, that might be me.
That might be you. So let me learn about you. So what kind of a zombie fan are you? What do you know about spooky things and zombie apocalypses?
So I don't know much about zombies besides what I've kind of been reading in the Edcot group. And every time I think I have an amazing idea, it's shot down by somebody else. So I realized that my knowledge of zombies is a little bit lacking. But I do like, so as much of a scaredy cat as I am, I do like scary movies to a point. But I'm kind of the opposite of what you said. I hate the jump scares in movies. So I'm that person who has my ears plugged and who is watching a scary movie with my eyes like barely open.
Okay.
So, and I sometimes I will even make Scott watch it first so he can tell me when.
Oh, come on.
I can't stand it. Like, I cannot stand jump scares, but I love creepy things. So I love, you know,
you are my friend.
Thing. You know, like, yeah, exactly. I love creepiness. I just hate jump scares. So if there's any movie out there that's creepy and scary without the jump scares, I can watch it all day long. That's just the best.
All right. So for today, I have to anoint you as my sheriff and my official, like, sergeant at arms, because you have to help me with this. We have to get through, because all these great people from Edcot have a plan of how they're going to survive the zombie apocalypse, okay?
That's good. So I might be the kind of, like, the you know, comic relief sheriff, though, like the sidekick that's this, like, wah, wah.
This is so now just, Shaun just of the Dead. Okay, very good. By the way, there's a movie for you to watch. Go check out Shaun of the Dead. It's a British zombie comedy. It's genius. It's
that
priceless.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's good. All right. You ready to go? You ready to get started?
Ready. I'm ready.
All right. Because, like, this is serious. I mean, like, this is serious.
This
is like life and death. You ready?
This could save somebody's life one day.
If you ever are attacked by zombies and, like, this is your only recourse, I just want you to know, even though, like, the world is coming to an end, give us credit. Tag us on Facebook.
Yes, for sure.
Tag us.
Uh-huh.
Say thanks. All right. Lisa Yost. Of course, Lisa, I'm disappointed in you because you didn't give us a great suggestion, but you did lead off almost immediately saying, oh, I can't wait to listen. I love the zombie apocalypse shows. So, but then I try to prod her and say, Lisa, I actually need a plan here, to which I got none. So I'm a little disappointed. But
yes,
Lisa,
dead air.
You're my friend here. I'm going to give you a pass. When I come up with one of my, you know how many suggestions I got, Stace?
How many?
10.
Yeah, I'm depending on you. So yeah.
And Lisa, you can join. All right. So I'm going to include you. All right. You're up, Stace.
All right. So B. Thaxton said that she is going to the top of the world. They would have to be EDC members to get there. So, and then she said that if they did actually make it up there, if they had their blue cards to get up there, she'd at least have the bar. So that would get her through it. So what? Question though, you said the characters are all zombies. Are the cast members also all zombies, or is it just the characters?
Okay, so in the zombie world, the lines get blurred.
Okay.
There are blurred lines here. Let's assume that everything is a zombie. Characters, cast members, everybody, except you and me.
Okay,
And 140 of our friends.
Got it. So the person who's checking the blue cards will be letting the zombies up, possibly.
Perhaps.
Because, you know, there's a little bit of a shadiness going on there.
All right, so. Now you've gone too far. You've gone too far, Nasties. All right. So, I should let you know this, too. So here's what I could tell you about zombies. So in formulating your own plan. All right, so they have no sense of right and wrong. All they are is angry and they only yearn to eat your flesh and your brains.
Got it.
They generally move slow, but in some of the movies, they're extremely quick, like 28 days later. These are sprinting zombies. I mean, these
those drive me nuts.
These things are fast.
Yeah, so, that's what I don't like.
All right,
I don't like the fast ones.
We're going to assume they're slower zombies then for you, okay? They want to eat your brains. They want to eat your arms and your legs. And they don't care about anything else, but they're also not very smart. And usually, they can't swim. So
got it.
That's an important one. Keep that one to
the
side.
That is super important.
Put an asterisk on that one. They cannot swim. Okay, here we go.
I have another zombie question.
Okay, hit me.
Do zombies turn other people into zombies?
Yes.
Okay.
So if they bite you and they don't eat your brains, you become a zombie. It's kind of it's kind of like tag, like freeze tag.
Got it.
Okay.
So if they're not successful in your brain eating, you are a zombie.
Correct. If they don't get to the brain, if they just get to the arm, you become a zombie and then you want to eat brains.
Got it. Okay. Sounds good. Go for it.
All right. Rick Forbes says, make it Club 33. Ain't no zombie getting in there. So
that is the truth.
Rick, it is the truth, right? It's very exclusive, and I don't know if zombies can afford that. So good point. Very good.
All right. So I get Jamie Price, who he is a little bit obsessive about zombies.
Hang on.
We're going to be seeing him.
I want to interrupt this for 1 second.
Go for it.
Jamie Price, you bring a little sunshine into my day with every post. I just want you to know that.
Yes.
Right? All right. That's all I'm saying. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Okay. So I'm going to read this. He says, oh my gosh. I think he actually said, MG. My teen son and I still talk about that episode. I saved it to listen with him on the way to DW for our Halloween trip a few years back. We came up with different ideas throughout the trip. I think I settled on the old Disney Visa Lounge above the American Pavilion in Epcot. Hard to get to, especially if you're not a card holder. Few windows, has most of the amenities you'd want. You would only need to figure out how to get supplies and food up there. I believe my son settled on the Land Pavilion, but that's a ridiculous answer. So much glass. I don't care about how much food you can grow there. We debated this most of the trip.
Okay, so if you think that's long, just wait, because JJP over here, he starts really putting some thought into this one in a little bit.
He does, yes.
All right. Tony Passero corrects him and says that the Disney Visa Lounge, that's now Club 33. So it becomes even harder to get to.
There you go.
All right, Katrina Lee, top of the world. They have to be DVC members to get access, so at least my chances are better. Like, zombies have that DVC card, maybe not. I don't know. It's possible. Plus, I'd have a good view of the fireworks and some drinks to enjoy in my last moments.
There you go.
Now, this is where the Lee family starts the separation. So
yes,
I'm just
exactly.
going to say, okay, go ahead.
I'm feeling a little bit awkward reading Tyler Lee's response also right after Katrina Lee just wrote, but I'm going to just go for it, take a deep breath. Okay. I would pick the Polly Bungalow and destroy the bridge leading to it. I would make sure to have a fishing pole, so when I ran out of food, I would catch fish to live off of. I'd leave the kids with Katrina Lee at Top of the World Lounge so my food would last longer and to enjoy some peace and quiet in my isolated bungalow. That got a lot of open mouth wow emojis after his comment there, I just have to say.
Yeah.
This is downward spiral starting here, everybody.
So we could fill you guys in here. Needless to say, It becomes heated, and I will say this much. Katrina Lee, you are a lovely person for putting up with Tyler Lee and the fact that he might have abandoned you in the zombie apocalypse to fish in his own private bungalow. But just so you know, Tyler comes back with, hey, you never know when those cast members are going to turn into zombies after days of heat and endless of heat exhaustion and endless people. I have thought about living on a deserted island a time or two. I'm not going to lie. So he tries to make it worse. So Tyler, you went worse. It went from bad to worse.
It's not getting better.
It's not getting better. Okay. So you want to read Katrina's response here?
Yes. Okay. She said, ha. And now everyone sees Tyler Lee's true colors. Tyler, I didn't mention you or the kids because that's just a given. If I'm hiding from zombies, then my family would be right there with me. And just FYI, if you escape to a deserted island, there will be no one there to prepare your food, clean your clothes, pick up after you, and most importantly, help you repopulate once all is said and done. Just some food for thought.
Hmm. So then Tyler assesses his options and says, okay, yes, my bungalow will now have a welcome home Lee's DVC sign on it, excluding all zombies, of course, but welcoming my beautiful wife and children inside my semi-private bungalow. Good recovery. Might be a little late. You might have been on the couch for this week, but good recovery here. Okay.
And I noticed that Katrina did not respond after that, so we're not quite sure how that all ended up, but hopefully for the best.
Okay.
Tim Van Swole said he's writing it out, and it's a small world. It shares a wall with Pinocchio Village House so that I can break through a secret passageway to get food, water, and maybe charge my phone. That's the most important part. There are lots of hiding places in there, and I can easily pull off acting like a creepy animatronic if needed. Plus, even zombies aren't going to want to face that endless torment of the music in there for very long.
So true.
I'll protect myself from the music with my headphones and by listening to endless repeat episodes of the Dub-D-Dub Review.
Okay, that's a bad plan, Tim. I'm just going to throw it out there because usually my tolerance is about one show. Okay, so the endless loop, that might make you mad. I'm just going to throw it out there. You might want to become a zombie at that point.
Maybe that's his plan. It just will feel better.
Now, I'm going to throw this out there. Now, Tim gave a great suggestion, and Amy came in on top of Tim, and she hammered the poor guy and said, I see you being another lazy-eyed hippo.
Now, Amy is Tim's wife, so this is another family just kind of being torn apart by this.
Zombies. See this apocalypse? It's happening already. Okay.
And then Tim replied, most definitely. Thanks for the survival tip, dear. I think more family problems being started on this thread.
Oh, man. All right. So, Beth Brooks. Beth Brooks says, the land. You can grow your own food. You can have a cool ride in the basement to distract you from the apocalypse. It can be fortified at the front door. Plus, the food won't run out. I'm telling you, this is the best option. Okay. Now, I will say this much. Jamie Price, in a little bit, says to her, it's the glass. There's too much glass in that building. So, Stacy, you know, zombies are also very aggressive.
Uh-huh.
And things like glass do not stop zombies. So
no, I wouldn't expect it to. Yeah,
at first glance, you might think the food might hold out. But when there's 5,000 zombies in your place, the food isn't going to matter, just so you know.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. I also got a response from Stacy Nyman sensing these family issues and immediately sending a shout out to her husband, Scott, saying, Scott, for your own good, you'd better not reply to this thread. So I think just it was thrown right there.
I think so. And he did not respond.
He did not respond.
So he's a good listener. He's a good husband.
Good.
Excellent. And Katie Swanson said, I think I need to befriend a cast member because I can't leave the kids behind. And let's face it, I'm more clever than the hubby. After befriending a Magic Kingdom cast member, I try for the Utilidors to get around.
I think we're responsible for breaking up three marriages in this show.
I think so, yes.
Oh, man. So Jamie Price thinks that you'll be trapped, but Katie says, nope, several exit points. This would be my first concern, but remember, zombies aren't geniuses, so we could get out for food, etc., set up traps to prevent zombie invasion. Okay.
And Jamie Price comes back and he's sighing. He starts off with a sigh. I've got some movies for you to watch, you poor, poor girl. You need more than one exit to be... I'm so sorry, I can't read. You need more than one entry exit, but being underground like that will seal your doom, just like a giant crypt. Magic Kingdom will be the most overpopulated area anyway, no matter the cause of the outbreak. Either it started when there were visitors already there who became zombies, or perhaps they gravitated to the Magic Kingdom due to the previous memory, habit, desire. Either way, they may be quite aware of the Utilidors even in death. Could be that it's already overrun by them when you get there. Then he says, I really need a life.
JJP, boy, you got some thought going on here. So, but I just want you guys to know, as we're reading along, don't worry. Your buddy Chris has got you all covered. I promise you, safe respite from the zombie apocalypse in my ideas here. Scott Gerke, though, just kills it here. I'm going with the Villas of the Grand Floridian. I'd pick a room with access to the roof of the walkway that leads to the main building so I can get there safely. Plenty of food, drinks, clothing, toiletries, including basin in the main building. I also have access to the monorail track to walk on to avoid movement on the grounds so I can go scavenge at the Magic Kingdom, Poly, Contemporary, and Epcot. Did I just say Edcot?
You did.
What is Edcot?
That's okay. It's okay. It's the Edcot could be a place where you escape too.
Okay. Well, yeah. Most of the time, people can escape. Search Facebook for Edcot. Whatever. Okay. Moving on. I would definitely have a boat dock with plenty of supplies to take over to Discovery Island if need be. Traveling by car would be impossible. So being able to take a boat on the other side of Bay Lake as an escape would be huge.
Yes. That response made me think all sorts of thoughts, and I thought it was a really good, solid choice right there.
Mm-hmm. So I had to remind Scott, of course, though, the biggest, baddest, best boat on property is the Grand One. You know what the Grand One is, Stacey?
I have heard of the Grand One, but I have not seen it or been on it before.
It's the private yacht docked at the Grand Floridian Marina, and it goes out for like the Wishes fireworks show.
Yeah, gotcha. Uh-huh.
And it is, how can I describe it the best? What would I say? Like 35 feet of like floating luxury palace.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that's the boat you want to take right there.
Is
the Grand One.
That would be pretty good.
You're up.
Excellent. So Amy Van Swall said that she was going to live in the Dumbo circus tent. Plenty of hiding places back there, food to eat, bathrooms, even a splash pad to take showers.
Nice. Good. The showers, that's important, right?
Uh-huh. Okay. It is. You have to, you know, get rid of your stench of your brains or whatever for the zombies. I don't know.
The brains are stinking good. Okay. Okay. But she makes a comment. She's not necessarily interested in survival of the fittest. She doesn't run. So maybe she'll just gorge herself on sweets and just die happy.
I'm with her. I kind of think that I would survive long.
I can save you. Just trust me. I can save you here.
Can we go someplace where there's sweets though too?
Would I steer you wrong?
You would not.
At least today. So
lots of trust.
James Jamie Price. Again, here we go again. I consider Discovery Island too. Just concerned that the deadly bacteria, alligators, and the unknown island of Dr. Moreau like critters might be a bigger concern than the zombies. How true. Like, you see those videos, guys sneaking on Discovery Island on YouTube? You find some weird things there.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not much of a hunter or gatherer, so that would be an issue. Maybe I could trick the creatures, like castaways on Looney Tunes, trick Bugs Bunny into that hot bath and turn them to soup. Or I can train them to jump into a 9x13 grease dish full of noodles and veggies and bake them under the hot Florida sun. Yeah, he's pretty sure he'd die. So.
That's so funny.
All right.
Rick Forbes is jumping in with he's glad that his wife isn't in this group because he cares about his marriage.
Yeah. The Dubs, bringing people together, not separating, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
And then he said he'd probably head to any of the bathrooms. Unless Stacey Nyman is a zombie, I will be safe. That's true. I would be, you know, stalking around the bathrooms. Everybody's got to go, right? So that's a great place to.
Rickster. Think about this. You're in the bathrooms. They smell terrible. There's no air conditioning. And I'm going to go here. What are you going to do for food? I'm going there. And I'm just leaving it right there. And we're going on to the next person. Here we go. Scott Ferrioli says, my bug out bag's ready to go. And I said, oh, yeah, Scott, where are you bugging out? He goes, I'm just going to come hang with you and survive on gummies for at least a few years. Okay.
True.
All right. I got you covered. Don't worry. I got you covered. I promise.
All right, so Michael Black said that considering I have absolutely no knowledge of zombies other than that they like to eat brains, I guess I would hang out by the roller coasters, as zombies would know that there would be a lack of brains within anyone who chooses to ride these death machines. And if one was to get close, I would just hop on and end it all that way. Too morbid? Well, you asked for it.
I would pay money to see Michael Black on a roller coaster, by the way.
We might all need to dress up like zombies, maybe. I
would pay money to see that. Tamara Spidell, I'd hole up into Journey into Imagination. I'd have access to the GVC lounge upstairs, Coke freestyle machines, snacks, and they better restock those gummies, and plenty of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Sounds good.
All right. So Christopher Mendoza said, I'd have to say Tom Sawyer Island. You're on an island that you don't necessarily have to be visible on. You have a ferry that can get you directly to the food when you need it. And if you need to leave the park, you can ferry over to what is almost a straight shot to Main Street. And then there was a lot of conversation going back between James Jamie Price and Christopher Mendoza. So I'll kind of read back and forth because they're developing this theory a little bit more. So James Jamie Price says, possibly you wouldn't be able to discreet riding over on the ferry, though. And Christopher said, not discreet, true, but if you only raid at night and use manual power, it's quiet and a lot less visible.
Brains.
James Jamie Price said, zombies never sleep, and if they can't see you, you can't see them. And then Christopher Mendoza says, who says I don't have night vision equipment in my bag?
Right?
I get what you mean, though, since even with that, batteries die. It won't come back to life. That becomes a point in time to choose to move or to stay, though. People are taking this very
this
seriously.
Is serious.
I love it.
Like, you could
I
tell, like we got a lot of creepy dudes in Edcott just like me. And, like, we thought about this before this was a show, right?
Yes.
In our mind's eye, we're thinking,
exactly.
Where would I hang out if the zombies attack today? Okay. Greg Nevis, I'd hide in the utilidors. Seems like a great place to get trapped. Another one of the utilidors. Seems like a great place to get trapped by zombies. But if you're good with makeup, you could hide in the haunted mansion with the figures and blend in with your surroundings. Ooh, the mansion makes an entrance. What do you think about that?
Yeah, but can't they smell you, though? That's the only thing
I'm thinking. The old smelly brains, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
But, you know, that might get you, buy you a little time there. So Kevin Curtis Allen says, I'm safe. Zombies won't pay for the ferry to the sunny Isle of Wight. So he's not even, Kevin's just not even coming to Walt Disney World. He's the smart one. He's like, if there's zombies, I'm staying home. So I think that maybe I'm going to go to the sunny Isle of Wight.
Hey,
Kevin,
28 days later or 28 weeks later, just watch them. They're over in your country. I just want you to know that they're there.
Yeah, I guess if there's zombies, it's kind of like rain, where it's like a rainy day at Walt Disney World is better than a sunny day at home. A zombie day at Walt Disney World is better than a zombie day at home. It's like either one of those.
Trademark, Stacey Nanny.
Exactly. T-shirts.
T-shirts. Tamara, could you get on that for us? Jesse Fouts. So I've thought long and hard about this, and here's my plan. I'm going to go on a supply run in the Magic Kingdom. I'm going to hit the confectionery, Casey's Corner, for the never-ending supply of plastic cheese. Hijack the Festival of Fantasy Dragon Float, assuming it's back to working and not a smoldering, smoking fire machine, and clear a path to the turnstiles. From there, commandeer the Admiral Joel Fowler ferry boat and live on the Seven Seas Lagoon and Bay Lake. I figure I can fish and even dock to get more supplies from time to time. But the best bet would be to stay on the water. Oh, Jesse, you got something going on there. You got to stay on the water. Very good.
And that's a big boat that he can have lots of food and supplies on.
Or he could take people with him, you know?
True.
Yeah.
I'm only thinking about the food and supplies.
Well, you need to have people around you, right? You need who's going to play Boggle with you in the middle
true.
Of the night if you're by yourself?
That's very true.
That's a boring Boggle game, right?
My go-to game.
Terrible, right? All right. Tony Passero. Tom Sawyer Island. Wait, did I just read two now?
You did. I was going to
let
it
go. I'm just doing it.
But I want to say, Jesse Faust has a really funny question. He said, however, the real question is, would Flights of Passage still have a two-hour wait time midday?
Yes, and the people are pushy at this point. They're very
exactly.
rude. They're very rude. Tom Sawyer Island will have a moat, and you could pull up a watercraft and sink the rest. You have a ring of water protection. If you prep and use the gas reserves on the island, you can also set up fire traps. The old Aunt Polly restaurant has food shortage service for special events, and you have a freshwater supply. You can also set multiple cutback points if for some reason the island is breached. For instance, cut the swing bridge and barricade in the fort.
Tony Passero is thinking
okay,
here's the problem.
There's a problem.
Okay.
Okay, you didn't know this. And everyone that says a good idea, here's a problem. You know how deep the rivers of America are?
Not very.
4 feet.
Oh.
So unless your zombies are roughly the return of the dead of the Munchkins from Wizard of Oz, you're in trouble. So I'm just going to throwing it out there. You're in trouble, okay?
Not good. Jennifer Bachman said, I agree with the land assessment. My first instinct was to go with Swiss Family Treehouse because ain't nobody trying to climb up that thing, even the undead.
Oh,
that made me laugh. That was funny.
We're going to hear more about this later, I think.
Yes.
Nancy Mendoza, my first thought was the Swiss Family Treehouse. But when I start thinking realistically, I probably won't last long because I'll be in the Liberty Tree Tavern eating the last of the toffee cake in existence. Although, It would keep me quiet and probably make me sleep a lot, so it might be easier to hide from the zombies. Those are all excellent points. You will fall asleep afterwards. Excellent.
All right, so I get Jamie Price's long story here. So he's now, you know, we've heard him kind of chime in throughout this entire episode, but
can we just say
we
just contributed to this guy, to poor Jamie Price, literally ignoring his job for at least half the day here. I just want you to know.
I know. Well, and now he wants to give us a backstory.
All right.
So here we go. So he says, here's my backstory. When we got a VCR when I was little, one of the first movies we rented was George Romero's Dawn of the Dead. My dad fast-forwarded through it to make sure there was no nudity, and then let me and my two older siblings watch it while they went out for the night. I sat on my sister's lap holding my teddy bear, scared out of my wits. I've been a zombie fan ever since. I'm a little bit passionate whenever a zombie film gets it wrong or tries to change the lore. I've had to stop myself from making further comments. Some are making me want to shake people and shout, "Are you daft, man? Have you a death wish? This will never work." Then I find myself getting frustrated. This is not on you, people. This is on me. I've got issues. Sorry if I've gone too far. I usually don't read responses to these so I can hear them on the show, but I'm very passionate about this, and I'm mostly having fun reading these. Most importantly, I'm finding out who I can hole up with when World War Z is finally upon us.
Wow. But James, I got you covered. Your buddy Chris has got you covered. Even though you've given this quite a bit of thought today, and I love you for it. So, James, I'm now seeing James. This is Jamie Robbins. I am hiding out at Animal Kingdom at Expedition Everest. The zombies wouldn't have the energy to climb up the mountain, and when they see all the skeletons there in the queue line, they'd figure there's no more fresh meat. I would dismantle the train cars so they wouldn't use those, plus the Yeti is there to protect me. My 12-year-old daughter said Tower of Terror because I could lock the doors and just ride the ride. Also, I would go in Soarin' because they could lock the doors in there. And Jamie's mom says the Seven Dwarves Mine Train because you've all those little men to save you and chase the zombies out. There you go. Those are some good ones, right?
Except for, well, those little men, maybe if they could be the zombies that can't get to Tom Sawyer Island.
Oh,
too. So, you know,
the characters.
It's all coming full circle there.
Yes. The creepy little men now, right?
Exactly. Creepy little men. Creepy little men. All right. Chad Pennycuff said, I had to Google up some facts on zombies as I really don't know much, so I'm going with the Google FAQ. Number one, zombies are afraid of fire. Number two, they're attracted to human sweat and pheromones.
That's stinky
Number
brains.
Three, exactly. Alcohol can disguise humans and or repel zombies. So this being said, I need some place with a ton of fireworks, air conditioning, and alcohol. AC is everywhere. I'd have to get some of the only guns in WDW from the Frontierland Shooting Gallery. That's a good choice. Those are some good guns. Magic Kingdom would have the highest concentration of fireworks, but the least concentration of alcohol. So chilling out at a bar of Club 33 in Magic Kingdom would be an option. But there are too many characters in Magic Kingdom to fend off. That's very true. I'm not dealing with Zombie Vader. Now I think I could win at Epcot. There are very few characters there to fend off. Big Hero 6, the Fab Four, Joy and Sadness, Olaf, the Three Mexican Ducks, Figment, and Remy. World Showcase in Epcot would give me a well-stocked 33 bar,
ducks?
But it's also the highest concentration of alcohol on property, and has the second most amount of fireworks readily available. Now I have guns, alcohol for cloaking and drinking, fireworks for weapons, and food from around the World Showcase. I'll stock up on some vegetarian items to lure Chris over, offer Pete some pineapple-free pizza, and I have some muscle and a paramedic. Stacy's a sweetheart. Yes, I know. She doesn't really need bribing. I felt a little offended by that. I feel sorry for the peeps who try this in Disneyland because they got to beat Zombie Thor, Zombie Cap, and Zombie Spidey. I want to be bribed. I mean, I'm not just going to run over Chad Pennycuff. Well, what do you think? What do you have to offer me?
Booze?
Yeah, that might do it.
Guns?
You know.
Pizza? Are you kidding
pizza,
me?
Pizza, yes.
There you go.
I'll take Pete's pineapple.
Can I just say, pizza. Chad, well done. And Stacy, yes. I am so glad that I started off with Lisa Yost because you seem to get every one of these that are more than like a dissertation. So thank goodness. All right. So here we go. I'm going to go and say Rick Forbes. I'll probably be the first victim. Zombies are a hard no for me, so I have zero knowledge. As a matter of fact, scary is a hard no. So I'd be doomed with zombies, serial killers, dolls, and clowns. But Rick, don't worry. With me, I got you covered. Stacy, this is all just a ruse. I'm going to take these people and put them on the front line so the zombie eats them first, just so you know, so I can get away. Okay. You're good, Rick. Don't worry. I promise. Don't worry.
I think that you're up because I don't, there's no more comments on here, and all of my choices had been taken already and dissected by James Jamie Price. So it's all you, Chris. I want to hear your big plan that you have been alluding to this whole time.
I've got 10 big plans. All right.
Okay.
Cause I've got options. It's called options at this point. All right. We're going to go with our lesser options first.
I'm just going to get comfortable then. And
just relax. Just
yeah.
So you don't got to do any of the thinking here for the zombie apocalypse. I got you covered. And I got Ethan, Griffin, Britton, Britta, Scott, and the Britons. I got them all covered, just so you know.
Sophie, no. Sophie, it's on her own.
I forgot Sophie. It's terrible. All right. Fort Langhorne at Tom Sawyer Island is the fort in the back. So it's not enough to be protected by the 4-foot water. You got to have protection. You got to be reinforced. The fort has two entrances. Actually, three. There's caves in the back. But you could use the fort itself as a base. And once you secure the doors, the fort itself would be protection. It's not just a standard thing. You can still get over the top if you needed to in an emergency. It's not a building that would trap you in. So that's my least option, is the Fort Langhorne at Tom Sawyer Island. I also like Swiss Family Treehouse. You got access to fresh water because they got the fresh water system going on there, right? The water pumps through.
Yep.
You got accommodations already made. It's built on the basis of a metal oil rig, so it's going to be durable, right? And there's one entrance in and one entrance out, and it's the same entrance. So it's easy to barricade. So you can put a family in there too. See where I'm going there?
Uh-huh.
Astro Orbiter, it's an elevator ride to the top.
Ooh, that is a good one.
Right? But the fact is, I've never been on it. So if I've never been on it, surely a zombie doesn't know where it's at either.
True. I mean, yeah.
Right?
Real.
Right? You use that logic, right?
How do you get on that ride?
If I've never been on it, how could they know, right? The Grand Floridian Wedding Pavilion has one bridge that connects it to the mainland. And that is on the Seven Seas Lagoon. Okay? Seven Seas Lagoon's deeper than 4 feet. We're talking a good spot here. I'm thinking that would be a good option, but there's no food, so I'm a little disappointed there.
Yeah, that would be hard.
Discovery Island is a good bet, all right? But it's too mosquito-y. You know, you're out there, you're in mosquitoes, you got snakes. Kind of creepy, you know what I'm saying? Crocs and alligators and whatnot, not good. The Tuvalu House at the Polynesian. Three borders face Seven Seas Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
Only one of the border actually faces land. So you'd have to border off one spot and protect one spot of the Tuvalu building.
That's good thinking.
There you go. How about Old Man Island at Port Orleans Riverside?
Oh, yeah. That would be good.
It has three bridges, but most importantly, it has a food location. So you're going to find food there. And if you could just protect yourself against three bridges, you'd be protected there. The water in the Sarsaparilla, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good one.
All right. Here's a bad option. I was thinking actually Spaceship Earth itself, because it's got a very simple entrance exit type strategy. And the building itself is impossible to get into because it's a geodesic dome, right? Or a geodesic sphere. So how do you get into it? There's only one way in and one way out. But that in lies the problem. What if they do get in?
Right. Yeah.
You're in trouble.
You're trapped.
All right. So here's my two solid options. One's a silver prize, but one's the gold. And I'm going to go with silver. Silver is paddlefish. All right. It was originally known as the Empress Lily. It is a full-size static replica of a paddle boat steamer. Okay. But it's not actually a boat. It's a boat-shaped building built on a concrete base. So you know this is located in the Springs.
Mm-hmm.
It's close to land, but the actual lake, the village lake there, is deeper than 4 feet. So I think you've got enough protection. Plus it's a restaurant. Plus it's covered. Plus you've got enough food stock to make it work for a while.
Huh.
What do you think about that?
Interesting. Yeah. Do you have to... Is the entrance to it? Do you go over? I've never been there. Do you...
I'm taking some liberties here and say it's just a plank that's easily...
That's what I'm picturing in my brain.
Yes.
That if you could destroy that, then you...
Okay. So, here we go. Everyone in EDCOT who had your suggestions, I want you to know something. All your suggestions, you could forget them and you could join me. I'm inviting you all into my gold-winning prize. You ready?
Ready.
You ever looked at a map at Animal Kingdom?
Yes.
You realize the middle of the park is called Discovery Island. And in fact, it is an island. And it's protected by 5 bridge connections. And if you could block 4 of the 5 bridge connections, leaving 1 as an exit, you realize you've secured 8 food options, including the Pizzafari and Tiffin's and Flame Tree, and most importantly, the Isle of Java for coffee.
Oh, yes.
Okay, hang on. Wait, it gets better. It's protected by water and the river right there. It also has a first aid and a baby center for supplies.
Oh.
Oh, just wait. It gets better. I also got the Discovery Island Trading Center and the Adventurer's Outpost for supplies, including food and sunblock and Band-Aids and Disney pins.
I was going to say merchandise.
And best of all, as the fallback location, you've got the Tree of Life behind you, and that is an oil derrick. So if all things go bad and you got no other option, you just climb.
Uh-huh.
You just go up. Come on. Give me some credit.
Very cool.
Give me some credit there.
For sure.
So
that's a good one.
You're all invited. Anyone who's listening here, you're all invited.
Yeah, because it's big, too. And you can get a lot of people to help you fight off the zombies. You can build an army.
See that? Am I thinking outside the box here or what?
That's a good one. I think that's a really good one.
Would Pete be proud of me or not?
He probably would.
I don't know. He's a tough critic.
I actually was thinking about that as you
were
talking.
He's a tough critic.
I wonder what Pete would say.
He would tell me it was terrible. All right. So, essentially, we just wanted to have fun with you guys for Halloween. You guys, do you dress up, Stacey, for Halloween?
I used to when I was a teacher. Okay. I would always wear costumes at the museum. We kind of sometimes we'll put headbands on or whatever. When I'm going out, I haven't really dressed up. We have a Halloween party this Saturday night, so I might try to scrounge something up. How about you?
Yes.
I shouldn't even ask that question. I already know the answer to that question.
Yes. Well, you know what? And this is the honest to God truth. I do love Halloween, but I love all the holidays. But I realize my kids, like yours, is Sophie, is she going out trick-or-treating?
She wants to have some of her friends over and watch a scary movie.
Okay.
So I think that she wants to have the Halloween spirit still, but maybe is done with the going out.
My twins are in 8th grade right now, and they're going to go out trick-or-treating. And maybe I'll get another couple years out of it. But I see my time is dwindling with that quickly because of their age. But my 6-year-old loves trick-or-treating. We all love trick-or-treating. So I'm going to enjoy it while I can with her.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
You know what? If I got to put a costume on and have fun, then I don't care. If you know I'm all about embarrassing myself. As long as we have fun, we're good with it. So
yep, that's the best part.
Yep. And remember, so this show comes out on Tuesday. Remember, we're going to have a Halloween contest. You remember this, Stacey? A costume contest.
Yes, I do.
So we want to see pictures of your Halloween costume on our Facebook page. So if you've not joined our group, it's EDCOT, E-D-C-O-T. Request to join. It's literally one line of information to make sure you're not a robot, unless your Halloween costume is, in fact, a robot, then you're cool.
Right, or zombies. I mean, I think we need to have some sort of they're not very smart, so we could probably figure that out. So if you don't get accepted,
try the best you can, zombie guys. try and put
maybe
something
we thought
up
you
there.
Were a zombie.
Yes. So request to join. Put a picture of your costume. It is going to be for a cool prize, I promise. So we hope you have a happy, safe Halloween. We appreciate you guys listening and downloading. And have fun with the day, guys. Do something fun.
Yeah. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Hello. Welcome to the dub. Hang on. Hello. No, that sounds like a foreigner. I can't do that one. I was trying to do a Count Dracula. Hang on. Wait a minute. I have to summon up my best spooky voice here. Hang on. I don't know if I have a spooky voice. It might come across.
I don't know if you do either.
It might be really awkward, like creepy guy. Like the creepy van dude. What am I going to do? Hello. That's not good.
I think you should put this as the intro.
No, this is not good. All right.